Hi, hello, and welcome back to the 1983 National Football League Draft.
And with the first round pick,
John Elway, Jim Kelly.
Welcome back to the
draft.
And with the first round pick,
Dan Marino,
Gruden,
NFL draft.
And with the first round
pick,
Deion Sanders.
I was kind of scared. I thought the show was going to take me. I would ask for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Welcome back to the
NFL draft.
Good young players.
What the draft's all about.
Year in and year out.
Welcome back to the
draft.
Wide receivers, running back.
Tackle.
Quarterback.
Every year in the draft.
There has been a trade.
Ricky Williams.
John Dolphin. On a shady Saturday.
Welcome back to the
draft.
Defensive line.
Wide receiver.
Running back.
Tackle.
Quarterback.
That's all I'll get into that.
Like you're wearing your signing bonus.
Elmo sales.
Welcome back to the
NFL draft.
And with the
first round
pick,
Eric Dickerson.
Reggie Bush.
Welcome back to the
draft.
And with the
first round
pick, Keyshawn Johnson.
Well, be ready.
And with the
first round
pick,
Randy Moss.
I'm a pig now. I'm a Viking now.
And with the
first round
pick,
what did they take, Mel?
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper?
Forget it.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper?
Forget it. What did they take, Mel?
My neighbor has more credentials than Mel Kiper and my neighbor.
Hello and welcome to the very first Hard Knocks Draft Cast. It'll be the one and only, as the only host of this show this year, Jay Mustang, Mel Kiper, filling in my Mel Kiper role for my draft analysis here. Maybe next year we can get someone else to join in so you just don't have to sit here and listen to me for 30 minutes. I hope you guys enjoyed the intro song. I found that very interesting and fitting. But I'll first go through the big board top 10. And after I get through them, we'll do the mock draft for all 32 first round picks. I appreciate the help from Mo and new guy Coltron giving me the scouting reports for the team needs on the Coltron for the NFC and Mo for the AFC. So if I identify a need and you think it's bullshit, it's not my fault, and blame them. You can send them PMs and group me all you want. So here we go. The Falcons, Coach Reb, have three first round picks and is picking number one overall. Their needs are identified as offensive line and defensive line. So not a lot of splashy positions for Reb here. But we have them going Ryan McKenzie, left tackle, who is probably the best overall lineman in the draft when you consider strength and blocking ability. He's solid both in the pass and the run game and is one of the stronger players in the entire draft. So Reb can anchor his offensive line down with Big Ryan. At number two, we have the Dolphins with Coach. And they have a few needs at running back, middle linebacker, and corner. Knowing the emphasis this league puts on cornerbacks and the skill, we have them taking Marquis Elmore, probably the fastest good coverage cornerback in the draft. He'll be very highly sought after, and if prior drafts are any indication, he isn't going to last past the top 2, 3, 4 picks. But we have Coach going with Marquis Elmore here. And number three, we have the Bucks, and we're talking Jeff as the coach. His O-line is terrible. He needs O-line, but we doubt he goes there. He probably wants another splashy player, so he takes Vasty Charles, the wide receiver. Vasty is quick and fast, and he probably has the best hands in the draft. He can get up there and make almost any catch, the spectacular catch rating. And he makes some big plays alongside Mike Evans, who never leaves. Next, we have the Bengals with Coach Simi. The Bengals have needs identified at wide receiver, linebacker, and safety. We don't think any safety is going to first-round grade in this draft. The Bengals, they let A.J. Green go, but they haven't really been that keen on replacing him. So while it's a need, I don't see them going that there. I actually see them taking Ranel Keith, the halfback. He is the fastest and quickest halfback in this draft who has shifty moves and is maybe one of the most complete players in the draft. So we know Simi's been shopping his halfbacks, and the fact that Keith is sitting there probably ready for him at number four is, we think has led him to shop those guys. With the Eagles, pick five, new guy Coltron. Again, the Eagles have been chasing cornerbacks this whole draft, and we think they go corner again here with Stekolion Jones, who has a pretty cool name there. Stekolion is probably fairly on par with Elmore that was drafted before him. He is fairly fast, very agile, and he is a good man and zone coverage guy who can also press guys at the line. So he's not quite as good, pure coverage as Elmore, but he is definitely a better press corner. And next we have the Browns, Sean Mason. He's been going with a lot of unsexy picks lately, getting some big dudes up front, DT, DE, I think the last few drafts. And we think they follow suit here and get the next best tackle in the draft, or the best right tackle, I should say, in Brandon Hall. Hall is a solid, a little bit better of a mauler road blocker, still solid pass blocker, and is the strongest guy in this draft, along with another center. So the Browns have needs at a lot of places. So they could also go linebacker, wide receiver here. I don't see Sean going wide receiver. I think he's content with what he has. So we see him filling in that offensive line up front. Next, we have the Cowboys with Wright. We know the Cowboys do not have any receivers after Dez is gone, and they let Edelman go. So we see the Cowboys taking Joey Manley here. Manley is insanely fast, probably the third, fourth fastest wide receiver in the draft, and has very solid hands. So he can, be a burner down the field, and he's 6'4". So getting that unique mix of height and speed is a rare talent, and we think Manley is the next top 10 wide receiver to go to the Cowboys and be their number one target for big-armed Woodson, get him the ball down the field. The Falcons are up again at number 8, and we have them going on the other side of the line at a right end, CT Norwood. Their needs are more at DT, and CT is probably a 3-4 defensive end, but would also be a pretty good 43 DT. He's strong, he's a great block shedder, and he would definitely plug in a hole on the Falcons' defensive line. It's probably the best defensive lineman in the draft. Next, we have Chargers, and I'm not even sure if we have a Chargers coach right now, but we have them taking Reynard Boyette. Chargers receivers are old. They're both 30 plus. Allen is their only other good guy. They need someone opposite Allen. So we have Boyette going here. Boyette is tied with a couple other guys as being the fastest player in the draft, and he probably has the quickest first step along with maybe one or two others. So this is going to be the small 5'8 slot shifty quick fast guy who can bust open big plays, runs after the catch. So he'd be a big playmaker for whoever takes over the Chargers. And after that, we have the Colts, which is another interesting one. The Colts have been saying, Coach Adrian, that they want another halfback. They want to run better, even though the Colts took a halfback at, I think, pick 11 or 12 last year. So are they not happy with their first-round pick from last year? Do they go halfback again? I think if Keith was on the board, they couldn't resist him. But since Keith is off the board, the Colts go with the best linebacker out there in Kiaris French. To try to be to shore up that defense, be what they need over there. And French is fast, and he's a sure tackler and big hitter and can pursue the ball. So the Colts look to have their next quarterback on the defense with French, and go from there. After that, we have the Giants. While receiver may be a slight need, we know how new coach Knight is. He's either going receiver or cornerback. That's all he does. So we have him going with the other speedy wide receiver, TJ Benjamin. He's basically Boyette all over again. Big run after catch, fast, quick, quick excel guy. Can, turn small plays into big plays and big scores. So he also may be able to be used in the return game. At number 12, we have the Chicago Bears with now a shakeup, Coach Sporty leaving his beloved Patriots to run over to the Bears. The Bears have some holes at offensive line, and Sporty has shown in the past that he will take the best player available at a position of need, and he is not afraid to spend high picks on linemen. So we have him taking the next good LT, which is DeMarcus Stark. Stark may drop some for some guys because he is not the strongest lineman out there. However, he is the best technical blocker. He could start from day one and be a better blocker than most of the guys in the league. So he'd be an instant starter for Sporty over there to try to get that offense going. Pick 13, we have Third's Lions. Third has an interesting choice here. He could go receiver, but some of the best receivers are already off the board. Does he want to dip into that same diluted pool a little bit, or will he try and go get a pass rushing defensive end that he needs? So we think they go and take a defensive end here, as the D-line is somewhat weak in this draft, so talent is not going to drop down very far. And we have them taking Tamani Lewis to go outside Ansa. And Tamani is a great power move and is very fast for defensive end with a pretty good burst. So he could put some pressure on opposing passers over there in the NFC North. At number 14, we have the Raiders with Coach Guy. And we know Guy has been hunting down for some CB help. And I think he finally gets lucky here with the other top cornerback in the draft falling to him with Chioke James, however that's pronounced. And the reason why Chioke drops a little bit as opposed to the others, he's not quite as fast, but he is still very agile and is the best pure coverage guy in the draft. So we've seen guys like him in the past few drafts. Very good zone and man coverage and good press. He doesn't have the elite speed, but has good enough speed to be a quality starter in a shutdown corner. Number 15, we have the Dolphins. So this is the Dolphins' second pick. We have them taking the next best middle linebacker in this draft with Tywan Nunley. Nunley is pretty much on par with French as far as he might not be quite as fast, but he has great instincts, can tackle well, and we can also see the Dolphins going halfback here. However, with Keith off the board, is the halfback worth taking in the first, or will he wait for the second round to try to fill that need? So we have Coach going with the better overall player with Nunley at this spot. At number 16, we have the Seahawks with Jay Face. Seahawks are interesting. They've had a lot of roster turnover, but that roster is still insanely talented. So they don't have a ton of needs. It looks like they could use a CB opposite Sherman. Sherman's getting a little old. They need some help at defensive end. Avril and Bennett are still really good, but they're also getting up there in years. How much longer do they have? They could possibly need a right tackle, but they have enough talent on the line that I think a guard can fill in there and start for them and not really miss a beat. So with the top cornerbacks gone, we don't think they reach here and take a second round talent. So we have them taking another good pass rushing defensive end, Deontay Ratliff. He's Very similar to Tamani Lewis, kind of 1A, 1B. We could see Ratliff going in front of Lewis, but he's also very quick, very fast. Not as strong as you might like, but has some skill at pass rushing moves to get past some of these tackles in the league. At number 17, we have the Patriots, which is now taken over by Coach Pitt, leaving his Eagles. And it looks like Pitt got rid of Big Gronk for this pick. So will whoever he takes live up to being as good as Gronk? They do need offensive line help. If Pitt wants to get that offense going, protect his quarterback, get that run game going, we have them taking the next good left tackle, P.J. Gates. Not a lot of talent drop-off here. He's not quite the blocker. Definitely not the blocker Stark or McKenzie were. But Gates is actually a little stronger than McKenzie, and is a really good pass blocker. So he'd be a good, you know, left tackle anchor to protect that quarterback blind side over there. After that, we have Coach Hitt, pick number 18 with the Jags. Jags have a fairly solid young roster. They don't have a lot of glaring needs. However, at middle linebacker, Butler may not be starter quality, and with the first round pick to burn, we think the Jacks could go with the next good MLB here, Evan James. The MLBs are pretty deep in this draft, so there's a pretty deep pool to pick from. Evan is maybe a step down from the other couple guys taken, but he's still fast. He could still get the swivel on those hips, and he's a strong hitter. So you can see James wreaking some havoc in the AFC South next season if this is where Coach Hitt goes. At number 19, we have Broth's Ravens. And we're getting to the second half of the draft where some of the better guys have gone, yet we still have some good talent dropping. It happens every year. One of the needs Broth has is corner. Jimmy Smith's getting old. They don't have that many corners on the roster. We could see them possibly force corner here. However, it may be a mistake, but the top coverage guys are gone, so he could go for a project. However, we have them taking Jonathan Mason, the best outside linebacker, and the Ravens do only have two outside linebackers on the roster right now, so Mason could come in and have a big impact. He's very fast, and he's a great pass rusher. High block shed, some pass rushing moves. This guy could even play 4-3 defensive end. So he's one of those tweeners that kind of like a Von Miller type that could do, you know, or DeMarcus Ware type that could do it all. At number 20, we have the Bouncers Chiefs. Alex Smith is getting old. He's 34, and he was never really that great to begin with. So is this when the Chiefs finally pony up and get a quarterback? Quarterback seems a little shallow this draft, but Wesley Allberry has a decently strong arm and is accurate and will probably be the first quarterback taken. There is a scrambling quarterback and a bigger arm quarterback who's not as accurate, so we could see maybe the Chiefs testing the market, testing the waters, I should say, there, and going with a rushing or running quarterback or the bigger arm guy, but we think Allberry is the complete package here. We have the Falcons up for their third damn pick in the first round, and Coach Reb is probably going to shore up that offensive line again, that's where his needs are, and get Zach Pace, the center. Pace is another fairly strong guy and a very good run blocker, one of the best run blockers in the draft, so he can open up some of those holes in the dives and the trap game. At number 22, we have Smalls Broncos. The Broncos are another really talented roster with not really a lot of needs. They have safety needs and they have needs at wide receiver. The receivers are getting old. We like I said before, we don't think any safety is worth taking in the first. So we see the Broncos taking wide receiver Phillip Small. Small is probably the slowest receiver taken thus far, but is still fairly fast and definitely has the speed to be an outside starting wide receiver. He has the best release in the draft. So he can get off those blocks. Or sorry, get off those get off that press coverage by the corners and beat that man press that some guys in the league like to run. So definitely an asset and probably a steal at this part of the draft for the Broncos. Philip may be off the board by now. Next up, we have Emo's Saints. New Orleans have a few needs. Halfback is getting old. Is Spiller and every down back anyway. Defensive end also could use some help. But we don't really think, after the few other ends have gone, I don't think there's anyone worthy at this pick. So his other need is wide receiver to go with Cooks. So we could see the Saints taking Quadarius Cofield here. Cofield has this fairly overall solid receiver. He can get off the press. He's great at catching the ball over the middle, getting hit, and he's a step faster than Small, but not blazing speed. Pretty good quickness. So he's and 6'2" height. So we could even see Cofield going to the Broncos and Small going to the Saints. You could interchange these guys. They're really, really close in talent. Next is the Texans, my team. We have a lot of youth and at a lot of positions, but we do have a few guys getting old on the offensive line and linebackers. So I have myself projected as taking Deontay Mack, the middle linebacker here. Mack's the next guy up in a fairly deep middle linebacker class. He's a great ball pursuit. He's probably a little slower as compared to the other middle linebackers taken, but he definitely makes that for that in skill and preparation, and he is still quick enough to be able to be a force there in the middle. At number 25, we have the 49ers, and it's no secret the Niners want another corner. However, the top corners are gone by now, so what is Tim to do? We think they go with the project Nate Lamb, and when I say project, he's still a great man coverage guy and is the fastest corner in the draft. However, his zone coverage ability would need to be worked on. But I think with Tim's playing style and his defensive line and Lamb's speed, he won't get burned over the top. He's probably a pretty good value pick for Tim here as being the only really fast corner in this draft. At number 26, CA, Controller Abusers, Vikings. Let's see the Vikings' needs. Or a bunch of them. He needs an AP replacement. He needs a couple offensive linemen. He could use a middle linebacker. Though, with two needs at the offensive line and the halfback, we could see him taking the third halfback here. That's very possible. But I have them down as taking Satecki James, a guard. And Satecki could move to right tackle. He could even possibly be a center. So he's strong, and he is just as good a pass and run blocker as some of the left tackles that were taken. His only weakness is he doesn't quite have that impact block you'd want on a pulling lineman. However, I think maybe at center he'd be a very, very strong fit for him and a good anchor to that offensive line. At number 27, we have Mo's Jets. The Jets halfbacks are getting old. Don't think Ivory is 30, so he hit that death year. He's losing some quickness, some speed. You could also use a right tackle here. And this is one of those, again, where I think these could interchange. I think if the Vikings take halfback, I think the Jets could take Satecki James here and move him to right tackle and be pretty happy with it. But if the Vikings take the offensive lineman, I could see Mo taking Duron Ingram here. Duron is a little slower than a couple of the other halfbacks taken. However, he is the best inside to tackle trucking running back in the draft. So we know Mo seems to like those bigger trucking backs, and Ingram could be a good fit and be the bell cow 2025 carry guy that he covets. The pick number 28, the Titans, which Coach Jersey Reign taking over for Coach Wright. I think Jersey's very disappointed that Darren Ingram is gone. I think they're he was highlighting him as a guy he hoped would fall to him at 28, as he really wants that Thunder to go with his young other back, his Lightning. However, with Ingram going right before him and disappointing him, he goes and takes Rayshon Frederick, outside linebacker. The Titans need some outside linebacker help, especially if they're going to run some 3-4 blitzing. He can also possibly go to 4-3 defensive end. Rayshon is very quick, and he let me pull him up. He's a hard hitter. He sheds blocks. He's fast. He's pretty close to the other outside linebacker Mason taken earlier, but not quite as skilled. However, if Ingram is still here by chance and the other guys pass on him because they didn't want the little bit slower halfback, I think Jersey jumps all over Ingram. But otherwise, we have him taking Frederick here. Number 29, Rise Bills. We have the Bills' talent holes at center and right tackle, similar to a few other teams in the second half of this draft. And strong safety, like I said, no safety here. So we think the best next offensive lineman is center Casey Murphy. Casey is another line of a very strong offensive lineman. There's a lot of strength in this year's offensive line. They've been hitting the gym, a bunch of workout wonders, and he's probably the next step down as far as blocking skill from the other offensive lineman taken, but he's still good enough to come in, fill a hole, and start. He's a very good impact blocker, so we could see him moving the guard, being a pretty good pulling guard, and opening holes for whoever's going to be running, I guess, with Shady McCoy coming out the door. I know the Bills have another young halfback whose name slips my mind right now, but got a ton of yards last year and a lot of carries, so Casey Murphy's going to open up some holes and wreak more havoc and rise potent offense. Now we're getting the last three picks here. The Panthers, very successful in the NFC the last few years. They don't have a lot of needs. Cornerback's one. Offensive line is another. They're getting pretty old. They just signed. They have Murray, and they just signed Charles. So we know Blaze is not afraid to run with the older backs and just kind of keep cycling them through there. So we have them taking easily the best guy overall talent left on the board and somewhat of a need with tight end Rashad Jordan. Jordan is nasty and probably shouldn't still be here at this point. He's as fast as some of the slower wide receivers and has better catching abilities and one of the stronger tight ends, so he's the complete package here and is by far the biggest steal thus far in this draft that we have projected in the first round. At pick 31, we have Hot Rod with the Redskins. We have them going Malcolm Hunter, the next halfback. This is a tough choice here. I don't know if Hunter is quite first-round pick quality material. He's good. He's probably second-round grade, and this is almost a second-round pick, so it wouldn't be too much of a reach, but we don't really see the Redskins having a lot of talent at halfback right now. They only have one on the roster, so this is a definite glaring need. They have holes at right tackle, left guard. They're not necessarily holes. They're getting a little older, so he might need a youth infusion pretty soon. But offensive line seems to last in the 30, 32, 33, and still keep going. So he may not even need to look at these guys for another couple years. So we have him going Malcolm Hunter here at the halfback. He's a fairly shifty back, about as fast as Tate and Keith taking ahead. He's got some elusiveness. He's got some spin and juke moves. So he's definitely no slouch, but he's not on that elite level like the first three guys are. And at the last pick of the first round, we have Pitt coming in again with the Pats. And it was Tubbs' Steelers pick. And we have them taking the one of the other outstanding tight ends to be a Gronk replacement, and that's Tyrone Lee. This guy is even a little faster than Rashad, just not quite as good of a receiver and not quite as strong of a blocker. So he, you make up a little bit of raw talent and speed. You give up a little catching ability, but we think Hitt will be very pleased. And obviously, no one can fully replace Gronk, but he'll be a serviceable target to go along with his outstanding receiving core to cause nightmares to the other AFC East defensive backs, and especially Coach, who doesn't like all of the Patriots' talent at receiver over there. So that's our, or I should say, my first round mock. I will post this as well. I guess the teams, the order, and the players in position, along with this podcast recording. I also have my big board top 10. And we'll go through these names. You obviously will all have already heard. But at number one, the best overall talent, we think, is Marquise Elmore, the cornerback. And like I said, Elmore is speed. He has great agility, can keep up with receivers and man coverage, and his coverage abilities are top notch. Number two, we have the receiver Vasty Charles. Charles is fast, and he has got great hands, probably the best hands we've seen coming out of the draft in the last couple years. At number three, we have Ranel Keefe, the halfback. This guy is super hard to bring down. He's very shifty. Can move around a lot behind the line and is very quick. So actually compares fairly similar to how the ratings of my halfback Gates I picked up last year. However, he seems to be a little faster than Gates, so he's definitely a talent. At number four, Kyoris French, the middle linebacker. Kyoris is, I think, the fastest linebacker in the draft. And he's got the ability to go sideline to sideline, running down these running backs, and could probably fare fairly well in coverage. Number five, Ryan McKenzie, possibly the best, looks like the best lineman in a very stacked offensive lineman draft. A lot of strong offensive linemen in this draft, and we have Ryan going number one overall to the Falcons. Won't disappoint there. At number six, Stekolion Jones, corner. He's very similar to Elmore, like we mentioned before. Very strong coverage skills with over 90-plus speed to be able to not getting blown out over the top. And we know cornerback is a highly coveted position in the league. Number seven, Tywan Nunley. The other next, or I shouldn't say other, but the second of probably five, six pretty good middle linebackers. Nunley doesn't really miss much of a beat and is probably a little bit better skilled than French, but just isn't the physical specimen, or quite the physical specimen that French is. But, I mean, you're talking 1A, 1B here. They're both really good. At number eight, Rashad Jordan, the tight end. This is the one we have slotted for the Panthers all the way down at 30, and we have a number eight on our board. Not a lot of need for tight end, so it's kind of a luxury pick across the league, but him, Tyrone Lee, the other, and there's probably about four or five tight ends, all are really good. You could probably make a case for two or three of them to go here instead of Jordan, but I had to pick one, and he's probably the most impact-ready tight end to come out in the field, play, and be a future star. Number nine, Chioke James. The third corner in our top 10, and usually the corners are pretty hot off the picks. Chioke is not the fastest corner, but he's fast enough, and he is great coverage skills. And I think this is the guy we had going to the Raiders in pick 14, so that would be a good value pick for him. At number 10, DeMarcus Stark, the left tackle. This was a tough choice to go, which would be the 10th best guy, as Stark doesn't have that elite strength. And when you have a draft full of a bunch of elite strength at the offensive line, you know, how does he stand out above the others? Well, he has the best feet and the best blocking skills out of anyone in the draft, and one of the best blockers we've seen in the last few drafts. Just he's very athletic, so this is more of a zone run type blocker, which in the right scheme, you know, could be a future Pro Bowler. So that is the big board top 10. I could make good cases for another five or six guys to replace guys in this top 10. It's a fairly top-heavy draft. Not sure if there's as much depth as we were used to in seasons past. Positional breakdowns of quarterbacks are fairly weak. We don't see a lot of big arm talent here. There's a few solid guys, so maybe a few project quarterbacks, but you know, no slam dunk top 10 picks here. Halfback seems pretty stacked this year. Fairly similar to last year's halfback draft class, which was fairly strong. We have a few faster, shifty guys. We have some big, bruising halfbacks. So we think the halfbacks will see three or four guys in the first round, possibly a few more in the second and third. So they'll be coming off the board as the age 30 death year is hitting a lot of the existing halfbacks across the league, so guys are scrambling to find some replacements. Wide receiver is very stacked again. We have some, this is probably the best year if you want a fast and big wide receiver. Usually in the past few drafts we've had fast guys, but they're on the, you know, very small frames, little Steve Smith like guys, or you get the big slower receivers. So this year we have a couple big fast receivers, which should make some guys really happy. And we have a whole bunch of receivers going in the first round, or at least that's I have slotted as the talent is just there, and everyone likes that big play guy in the offense. Tight end is also sick again. I think there's four or five guys that, you know, probably have first round talent. So, but four guys with first round talent, and maybe another guy with like second or third round talent. So I think we're going to be getting some, you know, there'll be a little mini run at the end of the first and top of the second on these tight ends, and whoever gets them will probably have a steal. Like I said, I'm not going to go with each individual offensive line position, but offensive line in general, especially at the tackles in the center, are very strong. Like I said, they have easily the highest strength as far as weight room strength of the past two or three drafts. And they have the skills to go with it. So this is, I think, the deepest offensive line draft for those needing offensive line. Conversely, though, it is the by far weakest defensive line as far as ends and defensive tackles that I've seen yet in Hard Knocks Madden 2016. So if you're expecting that fourth or fifth round defensive tackle to fall in your lap, I don't think he's there this year. So those guys won't be there. If you need one, you may have to take them a little earlier than you're used to, or just go with a mediocre guy here. We do have some outside linebackers that could be good defensive ends in a 4-3 scheme, so maybe some of the talent is there. But jumping over to linebackers, the middle linebackers are strong again. We have, I think, six or seven that are you know, pretty good. However, the outside linebackers aren't up to snuff like they had been the last couple drafts. So most of the talent here is the middle. We have a few good outside linebacker guys, more 3-4 blitzer types, or probably 4-3 DE conversions. But if you're, you know, if you're looking for that 4-3 outside guy, Tampa 2 guy, there's only one or two here, and they're not first round talent. I'd say second round talent. So look elsewhere. Corner is about the same exact corner draft as the last two. I think we have almost the same type of guys. We have, you know, some fast guys that has a coverage weakness, and we have two or three elite guys, high coverage, and then we have a bunch of slow guys that maybe should be playing safety here. So if you showed up the last two drafts, you saw what the corners are. It's basically the same thing. safety as well. I didn't. I see a few second round talent guys at the safety position. There's not a lot of speed there. There's a few fairly quick guys, faster than some of the low end corners. That, but they all need to work on their coverage. I mean, I would see some of them as a definite liability coming there and trying to start as a safety. However, we could see some of these slower corners be taken and converted over to safety. But there's a few guys that are worth taking, worth giving a look in the second round, maybe the third round, if you have a safety need or your safeties are getting old. A couple years of, or at least a year of some progression and some build them up, and they could be something useful. But that will cover the HK draft cast. It's the first one I've done. If you like it, let me know. If you some stuff that you didn't like, or this is boring, you'd rather just see me write it out, let me know too. And maybe it'll be more fun next season if I can get someone else to jump on here with me, and we can have a little back and forth banter, so you just don't sit here and listen to me talk the whole time. But here's an interesting little clip from draft years past. Enjoy.
What do you want to cover first? Our player, that jerk in Baltimore? Well, let me tell you a little bit. I mean, the people in this room, Mel Kiper lives in Baltimore. And I found all this out about the last 3 days. He lives in Baltimore. He tried to hang around the practices up there, I think when Teddy was a coach earlier. And this didn't come from Teddy. This came from another guy. But he always wanted to work in the NFL. He has no credentials to work in the NFL. He always just hung around. Nobody ever hired him. He's never been hired by anyone. When the Colts moved here, he was very, very upset. So every chance that Mel Kiper gets to shoot at the Colts in Indianapolis, he's going to do it. I happen to have 3 minutes to take a shot back at him. What I said there, probably 300 personnel people in the league would like to have said it. But as I walked down the hallway there, Tom Donahoe called me and said that I won the ringing endorsement of the whole Steeler organization. Thank you for saying it. That was Tom Donahoe. He reaches out to everyone. I got a sister in Burlington Junction, Missouri, that when we took William Perry back in 84 or 85, I talked to her 2 days later, and she said, "Why'd you take the fat kid?" And I said, "You just have to believe me. He was the best available." And he was the best available. But, I mean, Mel Kiper gets to your sister. He gets to your mother. He gets to everybody. I just read, somebody wrote the article about the receiver down here at Indiana. Came out 3 years ago. Was supposed to be in the third or fourth round by Mel Kiper. He never was drafted. Wasn't even signed as a free agent. He hurt that kid. But there's others he's hurt. Listen to him trash people. This guy can't do this. This guy's dumb. This guy can't do that. And unfortunately, some of the college coaches out there think that Mel Kiper is part of the National Football League inner circle. And he isn't. Mark Carrier, when we brought him into town that year, I had a TV show with him at 10:30 that night. We sat down there prepping for the show before it happened. And he said, Mr. Tobin, I thought I was a pretty darn good football player until I got to Chicago. And we flew him in that day. And all I hear is a criticism, and it all came from ESPN, Mel Kiper. And so the kid had to dig him out of a grave, himself out of the grave, before he could be recognized as a great player, which he was at Southern Cal, and which he is with the Bears. And we will win regardless of what Mel Kiper says.
Bill Tobin said that Mel Kiper doesn't know what he's talking about, but he liked your pick. Now, who do you side with, Bill Tobin or Mel Kiper on this one?
Well, I got to go with Kiper. His track record's better than Tobin's.